Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Make Sense with Mental Leap, the show that places power in your hands and information for your mind. Let others leave small lines, but not you. Let others place their future in someone else's hands, but if you listen to the show, you'll make sure it's not you. We'll provide you with the keys, but it's up to you to unlock the door. Welcome to Make Sense. I'm your host, Menelik. You know, this show is about us using our voice and our ideas to bring power to each other. If you look around what's going on in the world is in turmoil. And what brings the world out of that turmoil is the ideas that come out of men and women like ourselves. Like I always say, ideas die like men and women die. They all have expiration dates. Today on the show, we're going to bring in an idea that's not new, but it's becoming popular. And not only is it becoming popular, it's showing itself to be effective. I'm not a doctor. I don't pretend to be one. In fact, I don't want to be one. But my health is my responsibility, and my health is important to me. And I should take that responsibility to know and understand how my health functions and what will help me live here a little longer, a little better. So, with that being said, my guest today is Brenda Vance from Be Crazy Fit. I'm going to go ahead and allow Brenda to introduce herself. Brenda, how are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm excellent. So, go ahead and tell the listeners a little bit about yourself.
All right. So, like he said, I'm Brenda Vance with my company is Be Crazy Fit. I'm an ACE certified personal trainer. Board certified health coach. I have a master's in holistic nutrition, and I'm currently going to school for my doctorate in nutritional biochemistry. And I'm all about, you know, health, wellness, fitness, and taking care of the body to the best that you possibly can.
Right. So, all right. So, you know, let's get right into it. You know, you don't hit a home run all the time, but I think today we hit a home run with this topic. So let's get into it. Let's talk about how you became a raw vegan, what it's done for you. In fact, let's just start off with the near-death experience you had.
Okay. So I'll rewind just a little bit before that, actually. You know, I got into fitness and, you know, I had the regular standard American lifestyle. I was a heavy drinker. Occasionally, I'd be binge drinking at times and whatnot. From then on, you know, I saw this fitness show on television, and I was like, it was like a figure competition, and I was like, you know, I can do that. And from then on, that's when my fitness journey started. You know, I started at home with P90X, and I'm like, I'm gonna go get a trainer, you know. And I did get a trainer, and in that time, that's when I was put on a strictly high protein diet, you know, protein supplements, meat, you know, very, very, very little vegetables and fruit and whatnot. It was just all like protein all day long. Dairy was included in that. The goal was that I get on stage within a four-month period. And I certainly did it. Like, I went from 25% body fat down to 9 or 10% body fat, which, looking back on now, have I known what I know now, that I probably wouldn't have done it that way. But it was a great experience for me because it's allowed me to help others today where they're at. Unfortunately, you know, I lost my menstrual cycle, which I was told that was a normal thing. I was weak. You know, I was gaining muscle, losing fat, but, you know, I didn't feel optimal. There was days that I would go in and I would try to do box jumps, and I wouldn't be able to jump high enough to get onto the box because my legs just wouldn't move, you know? So at that point after the show, you know, I did a couple shows, and then after those shows were over, you know, I wanted to get life insurance, funny enough, because, you know, I have my son and whatnot. So you have to do blood tests and all that stuff for the life insurance. Well, they denied me because come back, my urine test shows that my kidneys were failing. from all of the protein that I was consuming, which in the bodybuilding world, it is a normal thing to have that show up on your urine tests in some people. So, but for me, that was like a sign, like, okay, no, this isn't the right diet for me. This isn't the right lifestyle for me. From that day forward, boom, just right into plant-based veganism. So I did that for a period, you know, cooked food, vegan, still high fat, still trying to get all the protein that I could possibly get. You know, and then I was reading, doing all this research. You know, I just started schooling and, you know, I got into David Wolf, who's a very popular guru in the raw food world. I got into him and I started buying like all sorts of supplements. I mean, I'm telling you, I was making like shakes in the morning for breakfast that probably cost like $100 a shake with all of the supplements that I was adding to it, you know, like, you know, so I was doing that, you know, I was still drinking at the time, like, you know, just wasn't leading the lifestyle that I obviously am now, but eventually with, I was training for triathlons, still trying to maintain my muscle, you know, my body finally just after a period just kind of shut down. Like I was literally on the couch, having anxiety attacks for no reason whatsoever. Just, I would wake up from sleep and I would have an anxiety attack. I wasn't able to like leave the house without having anxiety attacks. I could barely stand up to take a shower. I had to crawl to use the bathrooms at times. Like, that's how destroyed my body was from just, you know, beating it up through the years and all this other stuff, you know. So I went to the doctors. The doctors were like, oh, no, you're fine, you know, because I had normal readings. Like, my blood pressure was 120 over 80, which for me, that was really high because normally, you know, my blood pressure was like 110 or 100 over, you know, 60 or 40, you know, like, because I was in such great shape. My resting heart rate was normally like 45. And when I went to see the doctor, it's like, you know, 70, 80, and it's just not normal for me. And I was trying to tell them that. And nobody was listening to me. And everybody's just like, no, you're fine, you're fine. And I'm like, I'm not fine. Like, I feel like my head's going to burn on the inside. Like, I didn't have any outward signs and stuff. And, you know, they took the blood work and it wasn't really showing anything. And, but I was literally on my deathbed. I just wasn't able to move or function or concentrate. And, you know, I just wasn't myself for like 3 weeks straight. So that was like a rude awakening for me. By the end of the 3 weeks, when I finally, you know, started feeling like I could somewhat function, you know, I got down on my knees and I prayed hardcore. Like, I'm so sorry, you know, for everything that I've done to my body and for everything in the past. For, you know, just, I understand now, you know, I see that this isn't the right way and I see the light and, you know, all this and all that. So from then on, I really, really started, you know, I dug into my schooling. You know, I really got focused on what is the best for my body. How can I heal myself because no one is helping me? And what am I going to do from this point forward to be strong and to be better than I ever have been in my entire life?
Right.
So from then on in my schooling, you know, I had a really, really, really great professor in my holistic nutrition courses. And he and I talked for, you know, it was like a 4-hour conversation all about raw foods, and raw foods only. Like, to me, this was a foreign thing because even when I first switched to raw foods, that, you know, I was still doing what I had learned from like the gurus and all that kind of stuff. And it was more of the high fat road, you know, and I was still feeling just sick. You know, I had irritable bowel syndrome. I mean, I was going, not to be gross, but to the bathroom number two, like at least minimum 8 times, maybe 10 times a day. Like, that's how messed up my digestion tract was. So he was telling me, like, you know, if you start this and you start low fat and you eat, you know, fruits, vegetables, and greens, and drop all your supplements, you know, throw them away, blah, 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 like, you are going to start healing your body. Your body is going to start healing. I mean, my pH was, like, off the chart. Like, not on the low side acidic, but just off the chart higher, you know. And either way, like, if you're acidic or, you know, higher, your body is off balance. You know, you can really harm yourself. So from that moment when I got off the phone with him, I literally took every supplement that I've ever bought and I threw it in the garbage. Mm-hmm. And I never looked back. Like, I knew, you know, for me, I knew it was the way to go. But an interesting story about the supplements, because this is one that gets everybody. So I threw them all away, you know, and, like, a couple hours later, I was, you know, upstairs outside doing stuff. I came back down to my apartment, and I smelled the worst smell in the world. It was like something, you know, crawled up in the wall and had been dead for, like, years. And I went over to, you know, I tried to find the smell, tried to find it, and then finally I went in the kitchen. You know, I smelled around the garbage can. I'm like, it's coming from in there. So I opened it, and every supplement that I threw in there was bubbling like battery acid. And it gave off this rancid stench. And from that moment, I knew exactly why I was so sick, because I'd been mixing all those things inside of my body.
Okay. Well, let's start with supplements.
Definitely.
So let's talk about supplements, though. I mean, going to that, are supplements necessary, and is there a better way, you know, for us to get nutrition without using supplements? Are there certain circumstances where supplements are vital?
Okay. So supplements are, one, not a necessity. Supplements are to supplement, you know, a diet if it's missing anything, basically.
Okay.
But the problem with supplements is that supplements are not regulated in any way, shape, or form. So I don't care if you're getting even the, you know, somebody's touts that they have the best supplement in the world and it's pure naturality. Like, unless you test that yourself with every equipment that's needed to test it, you have no idea. Like, you're putting your faith and trust in somebody that's just selling you a powdered, broke down food. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So they're absolutely not necessary. Like, if you're missing something from your diet, you know, if you're missing a certain kind of vitamin or, you know, lacking protein, which most people are not in our country, whatever it may be, if you're missing that, it's the best thing to do is to go to whole food sources first. And if that does not do it for you, then with a, you know, a trusted naturopath or a doctor of your choice or whatnot, you need to be having your blood work taken. And then you can supplement that kind of stuff and retake your blood, you know, very often until you know that your levels are straight. And then you can slowly wean yourself off of that and get back to whole foods.
All right.
Yeah, because the longer that you're on supplements, I mean, you have to think, like, supplements are not natural. They're not from nature, right? They're a broke-down, not-living food. Okay,
right.
They're not going to bring life to your body. And most supplements today are full of heavy metals and who knows what else they put in them. Because, you know, I don't know. I don't have the testing equipment. I wish I did.
Right. So let's talk about supplements that most of us use when we go to the gym. So a pre-workout supplement, is that like a no-no?
Pre-workout supplements, I mean, they're not necessary. You know, if you're taking care of your body, if you're giving your body what it needs, you should be perfectly fine to go into the gym and exercise with energy. If you need pre-workout, like you feel like you're not getting what you want out of your training sessions, the best thing that you can do is give your body glucose, because your body runs on glucose. Okay,
right.
So, and glucose comes in the forms of fruits. Like, fruit is the fastest digesting food ever for the human body. I mean, it digests within 20 minutes. So you're going to get all of that glucose within 20 minutes. You know, so grab your bananas, or I prefer if I'm going to do anything before the gym that it's like a high-watered fruit. So I would go for like a watermelon or something like that. It's going to give me a lot of water and glucose at the same time. But with that being said, you know, if you're fully hydrated, you should have the energy that your body needs to get you through a session. I mean, I train daily fasted. I don't eat breakfast until after I train every day.
Well, I got to have breakfast. Okay, well, let's go with
intermittent fasting. So personally, right. For me, I prefer to – my body prefers to fast for, you know, 12 hours, and then I have breakfast, and I usually eat, like, for an 8-hour period. And that's optimal
right.
for my body. I thrive on that, and that gives me a lot of energy, and, you know, my body doesn't have to focus on digestion at the same time that it has to focus on lifting weights and, you know, repairing muscles and all that kind of stuff. Because when I work out, I want my body focused on muscle repair and, you know, rebuilding what I'm breaking down. I don't want it focused on having to digest the meal that I just ate.
Okay. Well, we're definitely going to get into fasting and the best way to eat. So protein shakes and those things like that, is there a better way? I'm pretty sure you're going to say they're no good for you, but is there a better way to get the protein? Is there different vegetables or a live food that we could use?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, if you're taking in, a lot of people don't understand the fact that fruits, vegetables, and greens have all the protein that your body needs if you're eating them in the correct caloric amount. Okay? Like, you know, I eat 2,500 calories a day, 3,000 calories sometimes, depending on the day and how hungry I am, of mostly fruits, and that's pretty much it, you know. And I'm hitting, you know, I prefer to say about 10% to 15% protein a day. And I'm building muscle like I never have before. You know, people are thinking like, oh, you have to have like 40% protein and 30% fat and whatever else. You know, it's like that's the opposite way that you want to go because high protein diets create inflammation inside of your body. They're energy sucking instead of energy giving. You know, so if you're looking for like a replacement to like, you know, a protein shake because you got to do something real quick or whatnot, I would say stick with your whole foods after your training because your body's designed to break down whole foods. It's not designed to digest powdered supplements. However, if you want to put like a hemp protein, they have like 100% pure hemp proteins. They have organic ones that, you know, I can give you a link and you can probably post it somewhere in the comments.
Okay.
That you can, you just sprinkle 2 tablespoons on top of your food and you're getting like 20 grams of protein that way. You know, and you know what you're getting. You know the source that you're getting. You're not getting all the other crap mixed within it, you know. You're just getting pure hemp protein. And I would have to say that that's one of the best proteins for the body if you're going to do a powdered protein because it's still a whole food, you know. It just broke down.
Well, let's switch gears and go into basically the crux of what we're talking about, which is how the body heals itself. So we want to get into the nutrition portion. So let's talk about how the body works and how the body heals itself and how we actually stop that process by the foods we eat and the lifestyles we live, actually.
Absolutely. So it definitely is a, you know, total lifestyle. Like, you have to change your total lifestyle if you want to start healing your body. Like, a lot of people are living crazy, crazy lives. Like, it's just wake up, boom, go to this, go to that, go to this, go to that, you know, look at your phone, drive, you know. I mean, it's nonstop. Like, you say hi to people on the street, and they're like, look at you like you're an alien, you know, because they're so busy. They're so focused in their own little bubbles. So we're living in high-stressed environments, you know, constantly, 24 hours a day. That right there is, like, number one killer. The fact that nobody is slowing down ever, okay? When you go, 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 you are constantly releasing cortisol inside of your body, which is constantly causing inflammation, causing all types of different things. You know, the fight or flight, like, that's just activated nonstop. So the biggest thing, the best thing that you can do for yourself is learn how to slow down. That would be number one for me. Slow down, meditate, deep breathe. Like, all of these things are super important to the health, okay? From slowing down, you know, deep breathing, meditating, definitely nutrition. Like, what you put in your body is number one. And, processed foods, you know, create high inflammation inside of your body. They are man-made, and they're not designed for the body to break down, so the body has to do extra work in order to break them down, right?
For the people who don't know what processed foods are, can you break that down? Because I actually had a discussion with someone earlier in the week, and they didn't realize certain things were processed foods. So can you go ahead and break that down?
Yeah, for sure. So processed foods are anything basically in a box, in a can, anything that you would eat at a fast food restaurant, you know, candy bars, macaroni and cheese, like stuff like that. Anything that's in a box, anything that does not come from nature is a processed food.
Right.
That's my explanation of a processed food, my definition. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't come from nature, it's not in its whole food form, then it's processed in some way, shape, or form. So processed foods are mostly, they're completely denatured. Most processed foods are heated to such a high heat that, you know, it sucks all of the vitamins, all the minerals, and everything out of it. And then man comes in and adds it back in. Okay. So these man-made now vitamins and whatever else they're putting in all these processed foods, you know, they're foreign to the body. They're not natural. Your body digests all of, you know, your vitamins, your minerals, and proteins and all that through whole foods because it's designed to break those whole foods down. Just like if you take, a spoonful of sugar, right? You eat that, boom, that's going to spike your glucose levels so high. You eat an apple, it's not going to spike your glucose levels as high because it's designed with fiber and it's going to slowly digest in your body and slowly release into your body. So the sugar in processed foods and the sugar in fruits are two different things, and that's a big one that most people don't get because they think sugar equals fruit and sugar is bad, so fruit is bad. I hear it constantly, nonstop, like, oh, yeah, I had my fruit serving today, and I'm like, oh, yeah, what'd you have? I had a half a banana. My doctor said that was really good. And, I just want to, have a magic wand that, that I can put over people's heads and be like, boom, and everybody just realizes, no, it's a whole food. It's got tons of micronutrients, minerals, vitamins, everything that you need for your body. I can tell you, for me, I probably eat over, according to the USDA guideline, serving of fruit, probably over 50 servings of fruit a day. Personally. So it does matter, going back to the point that we were on. So slowing down was number one. Nutrition, you know, is number two. What you put inside of your body absolutely matters. And most people are like, oh, my body is so resilient. You know, the human body is resilient. It regenerates itself. It does this. It does that. You know, why is this food made if I don't need to eat it? Or, well, it tastes so good, so why shouldn't I eat it? You know, you shouldn't do it because this is the only body that you have, right?
Right.
So
right.
If you start thinking of it in a different way, like this is the only body that I'm given, right? We're spirits inside of this loaner, okay? Our body is our loaner body, just like you would go and buy a car, right? Or rent a car, okay?
Right.
We're renting these bodies. Our spirit is us. We're renting our bodies. So we need to treat it with respect, because if we don't treat it with respect, then we're going to get disease.
Right.
Okay. And treating it with respect means giving it what it is designed to eat. And the body, the human bodies, are designed to eat from nature. You know, we didn't have grocery stores, you know, millions of years ago and all this stuff and all this processed foods and all these man-made foods and everything else. We had, you know, the seeds of life. We were eating the seeds of life. And the seeds of life are fruits, vegetables, greens.
Right.
You know.
So, with that, you know, I guess we're seeing how we cause sickness and disease within ourselves. by the way we're eating and all those different things. But how do we use nutrition to actually heal? So what does nutrition do? Does it heal us or does the body heal us? And if you give me one moment, Chris Calamese is actually on too. So I'm going to have him for about 10, 15 minutes talk about the nutrition portion with you. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's cool.
All right, Chris, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, cool. So,
hi.
Chris and Brenda.
Good afternoon.
All right, so we're talking about nutrition and the, how to heal the body. Brenda was breaking down how nutrition can heal and how the things we eat, the processed foods, actually destroy the body. You want to continue on that, Brenda, and Chris, join in?
Yeah. So nutrition doesn't heal the body. Okay, the body heals itself. All
right.
Nutrition aids the body in healing itself because by eating the proper nutrition for the body, you're giving the body the minerals, the vitamins, the protein, the carbohydrates, the fats, and everything else that it needs to heal. Like, it's like putting fuel in your car. I hate that example, but I'm going to use it. If you don't have the fuel in your car, you're not going to move, right? So if you don't give your body the fuel, it doesn't have the things it needs to heal itself.
Yeah, that was a great one. I just a heads up, I am in 100% agreeance with everything that you've said in this discussion. I've been listening. I kind of want to play devil's advocate a little bit on a couple of points about healing the body. So, where the human is located on the planet plays a huge role in our nutritional needs, evolutionary as well. I mean, we're talking like down to the physiological standpoint of all humans depending upon their environment. So that being said, in the body's ability to heal via nutrition, what about the Inuit population, the people of Greenland, Iceland, northern Alaska? Because they cannot grow fruits, vegetables, seeds, and legumes, and they cannot necessarily receive any form of nutrition outside of just an enormous amount of meat unless it's frozen and sent. From, you know, near continent. But they still have the same life expectancy of everyone in the United States, and they eat an absurd amount of flesh. I haven't eaten any flesh in 5 years, but or any animal products whatsoever in 5 years. And I don't see the need for it. But in discussion with that population and understanding where they are and what they must do, how is that a our expression, your expression and my expression, how is that universal to all people all over the world, including those who don't even have the food available?
Right, and that's a great question. So, you know, I'm completely raw food. You know, the way that I eat, it's maybe like 2% of the population that eats that way. You know, veganism is going mainstream now, but it's still a very small percentage of the population. The rest of the population is still eating, you know, high-fat diets, high-protein diets, processed food diets, et cetera. So it makes a lot of sense that we are still on the same, you know, we're all still on equal lifespan because people aren't doing what they need to be doing for their body to heal their body, you know, unless something, you know, crazy happens to them. And then they find this alternative way. Then they start digging into that. But it's still a very small percentage of, you know, the United States, of other countries that do have access to stuff like that. I know in the UK, it's an even smaller percentage that are, you know, looking into veganism and very smaller percentage that are raw in the UK. You know, most of them are high protein, high fat still. And the ketogenic diet is very prevalent in the UK. And the ketogenic diet is very prevalent in the U.S. also through the paleo diet and everything like that.
The
so,
craziness diet.
Me,
I call those the craziness diets.
Absolutely. And to me, it just makes a lot of sense, like the numbers. And, you know, you see articles like that, like, oh, well, these people are living on lard and, you know, they're living just as long. yeah, they're living just as long on their lard because that's the same thing that we're putting into our bodies in America. So it's not like a really good argument for the discussion,
but,
you know?
But no, my point is, no, they don't. The Inuit population doesn't eat the same way that we do. They eat 90 to 95% all flesh.
Yeah.
They eat a lot less healthy than we do. I mean, everything.
I'm sorry for that, but according to the numbers that I know in the U.S., like everything that the United States standard American diet is very, very high saturated fat. Everything
yeah.
that people's putting in their body. You know, we might not be eating all flesh, but we're still eating all saturated fat. The oils
yeah.
that we're putting in our body, the meat that people are consuming, the spray that they're using to cook with. You know, did you know that if you read the back of that spray, the recommended size is 1/4 of a second of a squirt?
Yeah, I know.
It's like, do you know how hard it is to get 1/4 of a second squirt out of that thing? It's impossible. But most people are spraying their pans up for like a minute straight. Like,
yeah.
it's just saturated fat. So we're still getting the same amount of saturated fat, whether you're eating full lard or you're eating the standard American diet.
Yeah. Yeah. The big concern, I think, on top of it all, you know, with the saturated fat content, is really what makes the argument about those populations in the Inuit is that they don't eat Monsanto. Now, that's the thing. If they don't eat Monsanto, it still does the same amount of time as us. I think that's what kind of offsets it because we eat Monsanto here.
I would agree, but they also eat a lot of fish, and I mean, look at the waters. Look at how polluted the waters are.
Yeah.
You know, the carcinogens that come out of the water. So I'm going to say that that's still, you know, highly prevalent for them to worry about also.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
It's really interesting,
like,
how humans, yeah, you're right.
The whole thing is that people don't realize that it must be spirit first, mind and body together, working together. Okay, but spirit has to come first. So there's this whole, you know, circle that needs to be in balance in order to ward off disease. It's not just one thing or the other. It's not just nutrition. It's nutrition. It's stress. It's where you live, how polluted where you live is, the air that you're breathing. You know, are you getting into nature? Are you stuck in a house or a building all day long? Do you see the sunlight? Like, all of these things come into the equivalation of healing the body and aiding the body to be optimal.
Yeah, that was exactly the point I was going to make. That's the difference between here and the Inuit population, is the traditional practice of spirituality and unification is all there is, was, and ever will be, you know.
Yeah.
So,
and the crazy
yeah,
thing here to me is, like, you know, if you're on Facebook and somebody makes an amazing post about God or, you know, whatever they believe in, you get, like, 2 likes, and then here comes another post of some chick in a sexy workout outfit that gets, like, 1 million likes. You know, so spirituality and the connection with any higher power, creator, whatever the belief is just completely set to the bottom of everybody's, most people, a lot of people in the United States. You know, religion has become this kind of like vampiric thing. Like, everybody's afraid of it or everybody wants to deny it, you know, and they're not proud of their spirit. It's like, we are all spirits, you know, we need to recognize that, you know, we're not the body, we're the spirit inside of the body.
Yeah, there's no way around it. I'm obsessed with religion. You're right, and it's a real problem because everyone's attached, you know, where a good population of people will say, oh, that's the slave's religion. And then they'll point out things about how this religion is similar to that religion, so that makes no religion valuable. And to be honest, that's literally the separation of one's ability to use the light for his own benefit and for the benefit of those around him. So
yes.
Yeah, you're spot on. There really is nothing that comes before spirit. Nothing. We are the all that is, you know, and, you know, that disconnection. And there's nothing that we can do to actually refute the connection, because we'll have it regardless. But most of us spend our time separating from that connection intentionally. And I think that that is the foundation of stress.
Absolutely. I would agree 100%. Especially, you know, not connecting with oneself ever throughout the entire day, because, you know, it's just busyness, busyness. But what can I do next? What's over here? What's over there? What's over there? What, you know, like, it's crazy. I just want everybody to just take a big deep breath and just slow down for a minute, you know?
You could talk to a 16-year-old young man and he couldn't tell you a single thing about riboflavin. But he could tell you every single assist, steal, point, and rebound by Kevin Garnett in his career, you know, or Kevin Durant in his career. He could sit and explain to you about LeBron James and every football player and everything that they had experienced in their lives, but couldn't tell you a single thing about omega-3 fatty acids. And I think that it's a miseducation in our society that we are so distracted with so many things that we view as valuable distractions. And we never actually get to the point of realizing who we are and why we're here and why in the world we have to be here. What do we do? What are we doing with our time? So that, we were educated.
Yeah, it definitely comes down to education. But at the same time, the education in America is geared towards, you know, let's get them in and let's get them out. I mean, we're all basically factory farm cows in the school system being pushed through so that we can get out in the society and do what needs to be done. You know, and even in the education system now, it's like a constant busyness. The way that they teach, just cramming knowledge and knowledge and knowledge and knowledge and knowledge, so that, you know, by the end of fifth grade, like, kids already have high anxiety problems.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just, it's the lack of connection from school to the lack of connection, like, especially if you're not brought up in an environment that focuses on spirituality and healthy foods and all that kind of stuff. I would say 90%, if not more, of Americans are not educated about any of this kind of stuff. That's why it's such a big thing on Facebook, you know, with the battle between all of these diets, like, and the battle between is killing animals right or is killing animals wrong. Like, that's kind of getting in the way of the major point. The major point is to be on this planet and become the best being that we can possibly be and live as long as we possibly can and fulfill our purpose. And we can't do that if we're diseased and sick.
So let's get back to that point. I know both of you have been practicing vegans for a while, and I know talking to Chris, you're always talking to me about healing, and Brenda, you're talking to me about healing. What things have you seen, or what things have you seen heal from people changing their diet and getting the proper nutrition?
I'm sorry,
can you take that one?
Greg, I didn't hear that. You broke up real quick.
I did.
What'd you
say? Oh, getting back to nutrition. What things have you seen healed or turned around in people's lives from changing their diet and their way of life to a nutrition, practicing nutrition and getting the right nutrients for the body?
Oh, I'll take this one. I got to go pretty soon. I got a field trip coming into my building. I've personally seen six people now get correct the issues with brain and lung cancer, from multiple sclerosis, migraines, what's the one I've been hearing a lot about from my clients is that they don't have regular periods because of something called polycystic ovarian syndrome. And once they correct and detoxify, you know, the cycle ends up balancing itself out. Depression. And then on top of that, weight loss and getting rid of medications for all kinds of issues. But the issue is that people believe that they want a quick fix or some sort of a thing that'll just get rid of the problem rather than balancing out the system so that the system can balance out the problem. You know, like, you have to trust in the system that you have and you have to give it what it needs. And so the issues are not eliminated by taking a supplement or eating a certain food so much as it is the body balancing the system and correcting it itself. There have been a lot of miracles out there that have taken place just on belief alone. If you give belief, nutrition, and hydration, and compassion, because, you know, death and suffering cannot be the source of food. It cannot. That cannot be sustainable. And, you know, if you spend the time to pay any attention to the actual market itself, more than 52% of all CO2 emissions come from the meat corporation. So you can drive 5 trucks if you want to, and it wouldn't even come close to the actual work that the meat corporations are doing to the environment. So, yes, an issue inside of the body, an illness inside of the body is an issue, and an illness inside of the planet itself. Global warming is the fever of the system of the Earth. The planet Earth is sick, and it is our fault. There's no way around it.
Man, Chris, I appreciate you, my brother. Thank you for taking the time to come on and speak with us.
Thank you, man. Sorry I didn't have more time. We're running crazy.
No, we got to catch up, though.
And we should definitely all sit down sometime.
Definitely.
Yeah, we were just, me and Brenda was just talking about that, actually, a few days ago. So
definitely.
We'll definitely make that happen.
Awesome. Hey, y'all. Right. Take care.
Right. Okay. You too.
All right. Namaste. Bye.
All right, Brenda, you want to continue that conversation on help? Let's get into some of the things we need to do. He definitely hit it on the head when he said it's a system, and we want a quick fix thing, like, well, we just want to cut it out. You really can't cut the problem away. You really have to take your time and build yourself back up. Am I right? And detoxing and all that stuff.
So right. So back to, you know, my own personal experience, because I mean, that's the best experience that I know, and that's the best experience that I have of the body actually healing, personal. Mm-hmm. So, you know, after that whole thing, you know, I started working again. I started getting up. I had so many symptoms. Like I said, I had IBS. My fingers and my toes would go numb because they were so cold. They would turn blue, purple. You know, I didn't feel like myself. I had no abilities to concentrate. My mind was just completely gone. Like I was using every little piece of energy I had just to show up for like appointments for clients and whatnot. And that was like it. I would come home and I'd be so wiped out and so drained, but you know, I just had to keep going. I was depressed. I had anxiety. I had anxiety attacks, out of nowhere. I'd be sitting in class and I would just get an anxiety attack. IBS, like I said, you know, just so many different symptoms. And what the symptoms were to me was my body telling me, hey, woman, wake up. You know, you've destructed your body yourself. Now it's your responsibility to take care of this problem. So like I said, I started the raw food diet. I started all in, right? So here I am, you know, thinking like, oh, it's going to be miraculous. It's going to work tomorrow. Like, I'm going to be feeling great. I won't have to worry about this. No, it was a battle. It was one of the hardest battles that I've ever done in my entire life. Not so much with the food that I had to eat, because the food that I had to eat was great. Like, I loved it. Like, it gave me energy. But then I still had all these other symptoms, you know. Like, I would eat breakfast, and I'd be in the bathroom for a half an hour. Or, you know, I'd be freezing for 5 hours straight, and I could put layers of clothing on and it wouldn't go away, you know. So my nervous system was just completely broke down, completely destructed, like everything in my body. My organs were messed up. I had stomach bloat. It was horrible. So needless to say, you know, I dove it straight into number one, spirituality, number two, meditation, number three, slowing down. On top of that, you know, I was eating raw food diets, mostly fruits. I would say 90% fruits, and the rest of it was greens. You know, I had to live my life because I unfortunately can't just go somewhere and water fast for 5 months because I have a child to take care of. So I was still working and I was still going to school, which if it was optimal, I would not have been doing that, but I had to be doing that. So But yeah, it was just a matter of getting up. You know, I started practicing yoga, so I dropped all of my other stuff. I stopped triathlon training, and I stopped weightlifting, and I stopped everything and just went to yoga. So I was doing yoga for like an hour a day. But it was a matter of slowing down, giving my body only the foods that it needed, okay? The foods that it needed were the fruits of life, like I had mentioned before, fruits, vegetables, and greens. And doing that diligently and making sure that I was getting 8 to 10 hours of sleep a night. If my body wanted more, I would take naps. And there were times that I would take a two-hour nap during the day because my body needed it. Like, your body needs sleep to regenerate. So I understood that fact. So I made sure that I was getting the 8 hours. And then if I needed more, you know, I would get a nap in here or there. Even if it was 30 minutes, you know, my body needed that time because it needed to regenerate.
Okay.
For me, optimally, I would have gone to like a water fasting clinic for a month and done nothing but sleep and drink water. But I, like I said, I didn't have the time nor the expense to spend on that type of thing. So I chose this route, which is a slower healing route than the water fasting route. So it did take more time. So for me, it was like, how long did I sit and beat up my body? Well, personally, for me, it's been since I was like 14 years old. You know, through smoking, drinking, drugs, marijuana. I had eating disorders, over-exercise. You know, it was just constant, excessive, just beat down, beat down, beat down. Because I was trying to be something that I thought society needed me to be. I was trying to be a body. I wasn't trying to be a spirit.
Right. Let's talk about kind of with prep time. I want to address women's health. We can talk a little bit about men's health and then about the lifestyle of bodybuilders and how it's unhealthy. We touched on it a little bit earlier, but let's go into women's health. Again, earlier in the week and last week, a lot of what prompted this show was speaking to women, well, listening rather. I wasn't speaking because I don't really know much about it, but listening. They were talking about fibroids and cysts and having bad menstrual cycles and stuff like that. What is it that they can do? Is it just, hey, you're stuck? Or is it a lifestyle change that can actually heal them of that?
Okay. So here's the thing about women. Women in this society, unfortunately, are body image, you know, all this kind of stuff. So they do everything to get this body image. And they're like me. There's a lot of men like me, too, where they're focused on body image and they're just beating down their bodies, or they're yo-yo dieting, or they're, you know, anorexic, orthorexic, bulimic, whatever it may be, okay? We create these symptoms inside of our body. Like, I lost my menstrual cycle for 4 years straight. And then I was told that I was infertile because after 3 years, it's impossible that you'll ever get it back, right? I believed in everything that I was doing, which is everything that I was just talking about, including the whole mind, body, soul, mind, body, spirit, okay, and the raw food diet. I believed in it so much, and I still do believe in it, and I will believe in it till the day that I die, and I will continue it till the day that I die. But that is the only way to heal the body, is to make that lifestyle change and to stick to it. That's what people don't do long enough, is stick to it. They give it like 6 months max, and if something's not happening, then forget about it. You know, like, it took me 4 years to get my menstrual cycle back. You know, it wasn't something overnight. It was 4 years of diligent work, sticking to it, not yo-yoing back and forth, like, oh, this isn't working for me, so forget being vegan, I'm going to go be a paleo. Oh, paleo's not working for me. Oh, okay, I'm going to go do the raw food diet. Oh, that's not working for me. Okay, I'm going to go juice. Oh, you know what, that's not working for me, so I'm going to go back to paleo. You know, it's just, it's insane. You have to stick with, you know, raw is optimal for healing. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it, okay? And as far as the fibroids and the cysts and all that kind of stuff goes, I recommend sticking with your doctor, but finding a doctor that believes in what you are trying to achieve through your lifestyle change. Because not all doctors believe in that sort of thing. And I know we were discussing it about the lifespan of doctors, and there was a study that was done not too long ago saying that the lifespan of doctors is actually shorter than that of, you know, the average American, and they have a higher prevalence of alcoholism and drug use. You know, so it's like you have to find the doctor that is in belief with you. And there's nothing wrong with, you know, everybody shies away from mainstream medical, but, you know, without mainstream medical, a lot of people wouldn't be here. There's been some great things that have happened in mainstream medical industry. You know, there's great things in the holistic energy, holistic medical industry. You know, there's great things in naturopath. There's great things in chiropractic. Putting, like, everything together, but ultimately it's your responsibility of what you're putting inside of your body and how you're living your life. You can't be a raw food, on a raw food lifestyle and binge drink every day. You know, that's not going to be optimal for your body because you're putting drugs into your body. You know, it's getting your body as clean as possible. I mean, we can talk about this for hours because there's so much that you have to do, you know. Like, when I work with my clients, it's a six-month program of just straight teaching, you know. So, but it's, you have to cleanse your body of all of the bad, all of the negative, okay. And that includes negative thoughts, too, you know. But as far as nutrition, it's all dead food. Get rid of all dead foods, okay. Dead equals meat because it's dead, you know. Processed foods are dead. Start eating whole live foods that are going to give your body life and give your body energy. You know, that is the first most utmost important thing to do, because without that, you know, you're going to still have high inflammation inside of your body, and it's going to be a slow period of healing.
Right.
The faster you can heal, the better, but you have to give it the time. Sticking to it is number one. Like I said, it took 4 years for my menstrual cycle to come back, 2 years before I actually felt like myself again, you know, like 100% myself. And I've worked with clients who have had, you know, cysts in their neck, who were told that they only had, she had only had 5 months to live if they didn't cut it out, and she did not want to have the surgery. And she started straight on, she started with a water fast, and then she went over to just raw food nutrition, and it started shrinking. Started shrinking, and then they gave her a longer lifespan after that, and then one day it was just completely gone.
Wow. So,
you know,
life gives life, basically. You know,
life gives life.
Yeah.
Dead food, what? Death brings death.
Right, brings death.
If you think of it that way, like, that's the best way to think of it. Another way to think of it is, like, it's unfortunate, but we've been brainwashed in this society because of industries, because industries are out to make money, even supplement industries, even raw food gurus that are selling supplements. Like, they are out to make money. If somebody is trying to sell you, you know, some sort of supplement or some sort of this or that, any industry, like, they're in it for the money. You know, I sit here preaching from the rooftop to just eat fruits, vegetables, and greens, and everybody looks at me like I'm an alien. You know, because they'd rather take the supplement because that's the fast way out, or that's a fast way to lose the weight, or take the medication because, you know, supposedly it's going to give you results tomorrow. When it's not, it's actually just, you know, blocking the symptoms. You know, but to go through true healing, I mean, it takes years because you have broken down your body for so many years. You have to give your body at least 2 years to start regulating and normalizing, depending on how much abuse you've given it. Like I said, I ran my body to the ground, obviously. I mean, I was on my deathbed. So I praise God every day that it was only 2 years. You know, and I'm still healing from time to time. I can still feel a little detox going on here or there, you know, every now and again.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And getting into the medication, a lot of medicines have a lot of side effects that the foods that have the natural healing capacity that the medicine is trying to get to you does not have. Now, you want to speak about that a little bit, just about medicines, good, bad, and different?
Okay, so medicines, you know, like the ones you see on TV, like they have like, even for an STD medication or whatever medication, you know, everybody's on TV jumping around like it's the best day of their life. And then towards the end, it's like, well, you have 10,000 side effects and possibly death, you know, like,
right.
Why would you want to, my whole thing is, why would you want to start with that when, and take the chance of those things happening to you and then creating more problems. So then later on down the road, you're going to need more medication and more medication and more medication. When you can seriously just give your body a try with just live foods, you know, just try it out. Like that would be the first, that should be the first thing on everybody's agenda. If they're not feeling well, is to start with live foods, you know. If you're not feeling better, you know, go to your doctor. I do agree that some medications are necessary, but I don't agree to a certain extent that, you know, you go to the doctor and you're in there for 4 minutes and then you get a medication. I do not think that that's enough time to get to know everything that's going on in somebody's lifestyle before that they have enough medication, that they give them medication.
Right.
I am all for, you know, I'm all for mainstream doctors and everything like that, and holistic doctors. I think, you know, if we brought the best of both worlds together, I think there would be no more illness in this world. You know, unfortunately, the pharmaceutical company is out to make money. You know, there are great doctors out there. There are great doctors. Everybody's, like, so against great, you know, doctors in, you know, mainstream medicine in the holistic world, right? I know tons of great doctors, tons, and they're out for the same thing, and they themselves are learning about raw foods and whatnot, and they themselves are learning about all this stuff. You know, there's a hospital that's a vegan hospital, that, like a holistic hospital that's opening up with a bunch of vegan doctors. I believe it's in the Washington area. It'll be opening up really soon, and that's the first hospital of its kind. You know, and they're mainstream doctors. There are doctors that care. They're just not educated about it. You know, but as far as medications and whatnot, you know, it's the pharmaceutical companies pushing it out, pushing it out, pushing it out. I think medications can be great. I don't think that they're great with all the side effects that they bring. I think that they can be better. I think that they can be tested longer. You know, I think that doctors can slow down like the rest of society and actually get to know their patients again.
Okay. Yeah, I agree.
You know,
so,
instead of being in a hurry, like, you know, in and out, like, here's your 2-minute appointment. I hope that was great for you. You know?
So I know you have to go soon. But let's close with talking about the process of healing your body.
No, we're actually still and good. We got like a half an hour still.
Oh, are you still good? Okay, good. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's go into the process of naturally healing the body. So what are the first steps when you say, you know what, I want to heal my body on its own. I want to give up meat. I want to give up a lot of the medicines, and I want to start the healing process. What is the first thing you need to do?
As far as nutrition?
Nutrition-wise.
The first thing that you need to do is start incorporating more live foods. So before you go into the, I got to give this up or give that up, and, I mean, everybody's different. Like, for me, it was just everything's in the garbage and I'm never looking back. There are some people like that that do operate in that way, shape, and form. There are people who, if you take everything away from them all at once, I mean, it's going to be hell and misery for them. Like, and they're going to go back to the same lifestyle, you know. So, I mean, it's different for every individual's need. But as a society in general, everyone needs to add in more whole foods. At breakfast, you can have whatever you want cooked, but you need to have 3 servings of a whole food on top of that. You know, lunch, same thing. Make sure that you have a salad, a big, giant, huge, green, delicious salad for lunch and dinner every single day along with your cooked meal. That's going to help aid in the inflammation, you know, from eating the meat and processed foods and all that kind of stuff. Live foods help aid in inflammation. Live foods help heal the body. So the more live foods that you can start putting in your body, the better off you are going to be. And instead of supplements, you know, start buying juices. Go to the juice, you know, natural juices, not like the juices with added sugar and stuff in it. Go to, like, say, a cafe and buy yourself a juice that's freshly juiced. You know, start drinking green shakes, green smoothies, all that kind of stuff. Just start oxidizing your body. You know, start giving your body live foods. That is the most important thing.
Right.
And if you can do it all at once, get rid of all processed foods, meat, and dairy. Throw it away,
so
give it away,
thing about,
donate it.
What's the thing about dairy?
Oh, gosh. That's like a whole other hour episode.
And we'll talk about gluten, too, after that, but dairy.
Yeah, so dairy, I mean, okay, so the best way to put it is, like, would you go lay underneath a cow and suck on its nipple?
Mm-hmm.
I'm asking you, would you do that?
Oh, you're asking me directly. I wouldn't do nothing like
I
that.
I am asking you directly.
Nah.
You know, could you see yourself laying underneath a cow and sucking on its nipple? Absolutely not, right? Like,
wrong guy.
Me personally, no. You know, like, no animal in that sense. Goats, cows, whatever it may be, giraffes. I don't know where people are getting milk from, but any other milk of an animal is made for that animal's calf or baby or whatever, right? You don't see cows coming up to humans and drinking off of their teeth.
Right.
You know, it's just not natural. That's number one. Number two, the milk of a cow is meant to bring a baby calf from the baby to like a 1,000-pound cow in a very short span. All of those hormones are not needed in the human body.
Okay.
That's number two that's bad. Number three, it's filled with mucus. And mucus, I'm talking like the snot that you blow out of your nose. Okay? Or the pimple that you pop and you know how you get that white stuff out of it?
Right.
That's the type of mucus that's in milk. Okay, not to mention all of the genetically modified foods that cows are being fed today and all of the, you know, medications that they're, the antibiotics that they're getting pumped full of. Like, antibiotics, there's a higher need for it in the meat industry than there is for humans. They pump them full of antibiotics. It's just, there's so many things in dairy that are just carcinogenic and not good for the body. Not to mention, you know, it's highly inflammatory to the human body. And once again, inflammation leads to less energy. Inflammation leads to disease. Inflammation leads to a more acidic body. Meat and dairy are both very, very, very acidic products. And, you know, your dairy is also your yogurt. I know everybody's like, okay, I give up milk, but I like my yogurt. No, yogurt is dairy too. There are alternatives to all of it. There are alternatives to milk. You can have hemp milk. You can have coconut milk. You can have almond milk. You can have tons of other milks that are out there that are not made from the milk of another animal. There are alternatives to ice cream made with coconut and cashew milk and almond milk and all that kind of stuff. There's coconut yogurt. There are non-free dairy cheeses. Daiya is the best. It's D-A-I-Y-A that you can, you know, throw on your pizza. They're still saturated foods, so don't eat them in an immense amount because, you know, you want to keep your fats low. But if you're going to enjoy something like that, enjoy it from something that's not from the tit of another animal.
Okay. Right.
Like, it's not meant for the human body. It never was.
Well, let's go into gluten. I mean, I don't drink milk. I mean, I ain't gonna front. I like ice cream though. But you make a very compelling argument with that. But let's go into gluten. A lot of people have a allergic reaction, I want to say, or their body is not able to process gluten or wheat products anymore. So what's the problem with gluten?
I mean, it's not so much gluten as it is genetic modification.
Okay.
You know, not being able to process that type of stuff, like, is our whole grains, like, designed for our body is the question, basically. you know, is rice designed for our body? Is wheat designed for our body? You know, et cetera, et cetera. Like, people are eating bread and they think it's like a health food, and it's not. It's a processed food. It's highly processed. You know, it will destroy your organs over a period of time. You know, same thing with, you know, pastas, they're processed foods, you know, whole grains, like, that's iffy for a lot of people. I personally do not eat any whole grains, you know, because of my gut. It doesn't agree with my gut. I wouldn't say, like, I kind of feel like the gluten intolerance became like a phase, like a big, huge phase type thing. It's a matter of knowing what is best for the human body and, like, knowing your body. Is that optimal to your body? And the only way to find that out is to take it away from your body for 2 weeks and see how you feel. Do you feel more energized? Do you feel less tired? Do you feel stronger? Do you feel mentally clearer? You know, if all of those things are happening, then you know that that's not optimal for your body. You know, if you're eating fruit and vegetables and greens, like, I'm telling you, you're going to have energy up to the moon 24 hours a day, even if you only get 4 hours of sleep. You know, not that I condone getting 4 hours of sleep, but I'm saying even if it was that you got 4 hours of sleep, you're still going to have energy, 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 energy. You're going to be go, 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 go.
Right.
You know, if, like, on this diet, I mean, not that I ever would because it'd be just extreme, but if I wanted to do a 48-hour race, I could do a 48-hour race. That's how much energy I have. Like, I work out for 2 hours, and I don't even feel like I worked out, like, because I still have just an abundance of energy. You know, that's an optimal diet. An optimal diet is being full of life, you know, not being tired, not being stressed. You know, your diet should support that. Your diet should give you the nutrients to combat the things that we have to deal with today. Like, not everybody can slow down. I understand that. I don't slow down either. Like, you know, I slow down as much as I need to. I do take time to meditate, and I do take time to deep breathe. But I got a lot of stuff on my plate, too. You know, I'm double majoring, and I own a business, and I have a son, and, you know, I work with clients, and I read in my spare time. I do research in my spare time. Like, it's, you know, I've trained my body daily. Like, it's go, 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 obviously, but it's go, 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 and then you have to add the slow. Because if you don't add in that slow, you're going to go, go, go and drive your down, you know, drive your body down. So, you know, if you are waking up tired, your diet is not optimal to your body. Okay, if you don't have energy for the whole entire day, your diet is not optimal for your body. If you do not feel strong, mentally clear, your diet is not optimal to your body.
So with diet, is it like one size fits all or what? Are there different diets that different people should have specific to them?
I believe that for me, high raw is for everybody. A high raw diet is for everybody. Okay.
Okay.
Specificity is like, blah, blah, blah. That was a hard word. Specifically, to each individual, like, yes, some, you know, men need more calories than women, right? Because men need more protein than women. You know, if you want more of anything, you're going to get that in the calories that you add to your life, because your body needs calories for energy. Calories equal energy, right? Kcal, energy. Okay? If you're not giving your body the calories that it needs to run and do everything that it needs to do all day, which nobody, the way that they live in this world today and age, should be under 2,000 calories a day. Nobody. Of, you know, whole live foods. Absolutely no one. Because if you are, you're not, the way that people run, you know, nonstop all day, using their brains all day. I mean, the brain takes 80% of your nutrition. It's like 60 to 80%, I forget which one it is, of the nutrition that you intake daily. That's just for your brain. Then all the moving that you're doing, you need energy, calories for that. You know, if you're working out, you need energy, calories for that. everything else that you do. Okay? For instance, just to get off of my pillow every day, I weigh 110 pounds. I need 1,100 calories just to lift my head off the pillow every day. Okay? And then I need stuff on top of that. So nobody in today's age should be under 2,000 calories. That's where stress comes from, not getting enough nutrients in your body. Okay, because your body doesn't have enough to give to each part that it needs to give. You know, it's got to heal, it has to repair, it has to work your brain. And like I said, your brain is stingy and it sucks up a lot. You know, I'll study for 2 hours and I will be as hungry as if I worked out for 4 hours. Because your brain takes a lot of energy. People don't understand that.
Brain food.
You know, so it's calories. So people are worried about what, how much protein do I need? How much this do I need? How much that do I need? You need to eat whole live foods, and you need to eat it in the right caloric amount for your body. Therefore, you're going to get all of the macronutrients, which are protein, carbs, and fats, and all of the micronutrients that your body needs. And say you're an athlete and you need more protein than a normal person, whatnot, maybe you need 15% protein instead of 10%, okay? Then, you know, you're going to add the hemp protein like I had talked about earlier and just sprinkle that on top of your food. It's simple. Okay. It's simple. Everybody makes diet so complicated, and it's the simplest thing in the world. It's okay. If it's made from seeds, you know, it's a live food, the seeds, you know, live foods, whole live foods. You can pick them out of the ground. You can pull them out of a tree. They're meant to go in the body.
Okay. Well, let's talk about two more things before we close out. How nutrition affects mental health, and I want to touch on the bodybuilding process and why you say it's unhealthy, the cycles they go through. But let's talk about nutrition and mental health first. So with mental health, and if you look at a lot of Charlotte Gerson videos, or if you read their books or speak with her, you know that she talks about how mental health or lack thereof, or whatever you want to call it, can be reversed with nutrition. Is that something you believe in? And if so, what is that process? Do we just let the body heal itself again with that, or do we focus on that mental derailment?
For me, it's the same process. It's going through, you know, it's everything. You have to do the spirit, mind, and body, and it's raw, live food. I can't stress that enough. Your body needs live food to live, you know, to thrive. You have to give it to it. And like I had just said before, your brain robs you of 60% of your daily caloric intake every day. Okay, so say I got off my bed, right, and remember I needed 1,100 calories to lift my head off the pillow, okay, just to get up in the morning. And then I only eat 900 calories for the day.
Mm-hmm.
Is that enough for my brain? Like, my brain took all of that. Like, is there anything left for my body, you know?
Right.
Therefore, you know, you're not giving your brain the nutrients that it needs. Then you're going to have chemical imbalance in the brain.
Right.
Right? So if you start giving your body the nutrients that it needs to thrive and survive, you know, you're going to start gaining that mental clarity, and you're going to start getting that balance of the brain back. I can tell you, like, I had wet brain from, like, drinking so much, and, you know, I was walking around like an idiot because I was, like, starving my body. I had no mental clarity. I had nothing. You know, 3 years later, you know, I'm double majoring, going for my doctorate soon. Because I have that mental clarity. I'm giving my body the nutrients that it needs. You know, I don't fall asleep in class. You know, I can study till midnight if I need to, you know?
Right.
I'm fully alert at all times throughout the day, and I've battled depression, and I've beat depression through nutrition. And I am going to stress that there are people who do need to see psychologists, and they do need medication to balance things out. Like, not everybody is just going to be like, oh, nutrition healed me, you know? I wasn't bipolar, and I didn't have, you know, clinical depression or anything like that. It was just depression of years of drinking and things that had happened to me in my life. So it was things that I should have probably seen someone and talked to about, but I wasn't taught that. So, you know, I did everything the hard way. and I worked through it myself, and I healed myself through nutrition. So I'm not saying either way is the best. I'm saying for me, nutrition was the best. If you have really bad depression or, you know, you're suicidal, you need to see a psychologist and you need to get on a medication. And eventually,
oh, yeah, that's for sure.
If you change your lifestyle and you start incorporating, like, everything that I'm talking about, eventually, maybe a couple of years down the road, you're able to get off of that medication.
Right. And
you
I
know, it's the same thing, like... Oh, go ahead.
No, I'm saying I definitely would say that to talk about the importance of nutrition when it comes to mental health isn't to discount, you know, the importance of seeing a psychologist or a therapist or the things that your doctors may have you do. I mean, if you take the holistic approach to living, you realize that maybe all that may be important for your life. It's like a car, you know what I mean? If one tire is flat, all the other tires have to work harder and the other parts of the car have to work harder, and then they break down easier. But if you add that component, you know, that tire is properly inflated and the car works better. Everything balances itself out. So definitely wasn't
Absolutely.
Saying, and we're not trying to say drop everything and nutrition will take care of it all. No, nutrition should be the basis for a lot of the things you do, and it will help all those other areas. It'll elevate you in all those other areas, I should say.
Yes, and nutrition can help heal the body. The body ultimately resets itself, and the body ultimately heals itself. It's the body. Nutrition is an aid for the body, okay? But a lot of gurus out there, you know, make people think that it's all just nutrition. You don't need doctors. You don't need this. You don't need this. You don't need this. Some people do need that stuff. And I just want to stress that, you know, if you do need that, it's okay. But you can still change your lifestyle, and you may get off of those things eventually down the road. That is the ultimate goal. Like, are on medication, and there's a 0.001% chance that you can get off of it. You should be trying to do everything that you can to get off of that. You should be
right.
living your life to be the optimal version of yourself, to be the best version of you, not just living life. Like, live life and have all the energy that you can possibly have and do all the things that you're meant to do while you're here on this planet. It's a blessing that we're alive, you know.
That's
like,
true.
Stop taking it for granted. Like, it's the worst thing that you can do. I can tell you from taking it for granted for 20-something years of my life, you know, running away from past problems, that it's not worth it. Like, had I known this long time ago, who knows where I would be right now, you know, but I'm just blessed that I found raw food nutrition, and I'm blessed where I am today, like, alive, you know,
okay.
Not sitting in the ground somewhere.
Yeah, we do have a question, and we'll get to that in a moment. Let's talk cool. about the process of bodybuilding. And the toll that it takes on the body. And again, this is something else you talked to me about, and I think it's good for the general public to hear, because a lot of people, which is a good trend, Abby always says, it's a good fad, rather, that a lot of people are going to the gym now. A lot of people are trying to work out. But then you see a lot of people also trying to get into the bodybuilding thing and trying to live that bodybuilder life. So let's talk about that.
Okay, cool. So I agree. People going to the gym is excellent. People getting outside, just people getting up and moving, period, is awesome. Like, I'm so for fitness. If you look at my page, like, I post tons of free videos and all that kind of stuff. Fitness plays a big part in my happiness and my life.
Right.
However, like, if you've never been to the gym and you don't know what you're doing, please seek out a trainer that is the best for you, okay? Interview a bunch of trainers the same way I told you to interview doctors. Like, find one that has your goals in mind and cares about you, period, okay? So to the bodybuilding point of it, bodybuilders, unfortunately, like, my story that I told you how I got into bodybuilding, and my trainer had me go from 25% body fat down to 9% body fat in 4 months, completely destroyed, wrecked me mentally, physically, everything. That, you know, unfortunately, I didn't know what I do now, and I didn't know, you know, I just thought every trainer was like every trainer, like, they knew what they were talking about. Number one, if you have a trainer that is just a trainer and is trying to give you macros and micros and what not to eat, you know, fire that person and go find somebody else, because it's, in most states, it's illegal.
Right.
And any trainer that tells you to go on a 1,200-calorie diet needs to be fired as well, because that's just absurd. It's starvation, and it's not right. Okay? But as far as bodybuilding, there are some that do it correctly, okay? And there are others that just don't. There's especially a lot of women I see right now getting into it for the purpose of having that body. Like we talked about before, just being a body, you know, that's going to change their life. If they have a six-pack, it's going to make their life, you know, a dream come true, whatnot. So they do everything they can, you know, to get there. And it's, I've seen it wreck people. I've seen strokes happen from it. Like I said, menstrual cycles lost, depression, orthorexia, anorexia, bulimia, all of this stuff happens from going into the bodybuilding world. And unfortunately, I wish there was, like, psychiatric evaluation before people get into bodybilding.
Why is that?
A lot of people need it. Like, a lot of people that are coming into it are so focused on body image rather than bodybuilding is a sport of being strong, period.
Right.
Like, that's the sport. You know, yeah, you get on stage, you show off your muscles. However, that's not what it's about. It's about being strong. It's about being healthy. It's about being the best version of you. And there's only a few bodybuilders that I personally know that uphold that, you know.
Really? Like who?
One would be Habedin Alarian. he definitely upholds that. It's not about the body image. It's about the strength and the art. Like, me personally, you know, I could walk around naked all day. Like, I see the body as an art piece. Like, I can look at people. I don't see flaws. I see beauty in everyone. Because to me, the body is an art no matter what shape or form it's in, right? Okay. But most people getting into the bodybuilding world are seeking out this type of body, you know, and they're doing anything they can to get there. So they're going on these crash diets. They're going on high-fat diets. They're going on high-protein diets. They're taking tons of supplements that they don't even know what's in it, and they're putting it into their body. I mean, it's completely destroying the inside of the body, but they don't recognize that because they don't care about the inside of their body, because all they care about is the outside of their body.
Yeah.
And then they're signing up to these trainers, like I said, who are writing nutrition programs, who know absolutely nothing about nutrition except bro science. And if you're going to tell me that Diet Cola is okay to drink, you are insane. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I know tons of trainers who are telling their clients it's okay to have diet soda, and it's okay to have candy, and it's okay to eat a whole package of Twizzlers because it's zero fat and blah, 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 blah. It's like, no, that is not okay. Like, people think they're eating healthy, and they haven't even stepped on what healthy actually is yet. A bodybuilding diet is not healthy.
Right. And you see a lot of people who are fit but not healthy at all. You know what I mean? That is
skinny fat, skinny fit.
Yeah.
You know, there can be somebody a supermodel, right? People think that they're fit and beautiful, and, you know, half of them are anorexic and half of them starve themselves and some are bulimic. And there are some that are naturally beautiful like that and fit and strong. But you can't judge a book by, you know, its cover.
Right. That's true. Well, we have a
the inside.
Young man.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm saying we have a young man on the line, and we have 5 minutes left in the show. So we have a young man on the line that wants to ask a question.
Cool.
Flex, you're on live, man. You can go ahead and ask your question for Brenda.
All right. Thank you, Chief. Thank you, Chief. I appreciate it.
Hi.
Hi, Brenda. How you doing?
I'm very well. How are you?
I can't complain. Thank you for the information. It's very helpful. I just have a question. How do you combat the rapid weight loss that you do, that happens like when you transition? Because when I transitioned to like a vegan diet last summer, I experienced a very rapid weight loss. I don't think that was healthy either. Also, how important is water, and like what's the proper amount of water to drink every day?
Okay. So how heavy were you when you transitioned to a vegan diet?
About 215.
Okay. How tall are you?
5'10", 5'7".
And how much weight did you lose?
A lot, about 20 or something.
20 pounds?
Yeah, about, yeah.
Okay. So that put you at like 195?
Yeah.
And what was unhealthy about it? Did you feel?
No, I didn't feel unhealthy, but you know, it didn't look like the appearance wise, it didn't look as if I was healthy. But I felt fine.
Did you feel better than when you were on your other lifestyle? Did you have more energy? Did you have more mental clarity?
Yeah, I feel fine, but.
Okay, so for me, like a person at 5'10", did you work out regularly or?
Oh, yeah, I ran a lot.
Okay. How much did you run?
Not long distances, just we run around the block a couple times and more.
Okay. So from my perspective of you being 5'10 and 215, you were definitely overweight. And those 20 pounds, I would say that was awesome. So I would say congratulations to that, especially if you were feeling well on the inside. How you felt looking on the outside with your body image, you know, running is great, but you also need to be weightlifting to build muscle. So if you were looking for more of a muscular toned type look, then you would need to be adding weights to that, you know?
Understood.
But to combat weight loss, like getting to a healthy weight is not something that should be combated, in my opinion.
Mm.
You know, you could have not been taking in enough calories like I had talked about earlier. So making sure that you're taking in enough calories is very, very important. Like I said, nobody should be under 2,000 calories a day. Do you know how many calories you were eating?
No.
Yeah, so that's a big thing is when you transition, or even if you're on a diet, knowing the amount of calories that you're taking in and making sure that they're good calories and that you're on a low-fat diet and taking in great calories and eating a lot of live foods, because like we had talked about this whole thing, live foods are life, right? So, but going on something like chronometer.com or any of those things where you can, like, you know, track your food and all that and watch your calories and make – I know on Chronometer I used to love it when I first started because I got to see all, like, my vitamins and minerals and everything I was taking in. I was like, hell, yeah, I'm healing my body like no other. So doing something like that and just making sure you're getting in the right calories. So, like, at 5'10", 215 pounds, I mean, I would put you to get your head off the pillow at, like, 2,150 calories. You know, and if you're not taking that in, of course you're going to have rapid weight loss, especially switching to a vegan diet because you're going to lose all of your water weight. You're going to drop inflammation inside of your body. So, I mean, things are just going to fall off right away. So, you know, I would say congratulations to that, but just make sure you're taking in enough calories.
So,
and then what was your other question?
Water. Is there a specific amount of water?
Oh, yeah. So water, you know, for your size, you know, like 3 liters a day, you know, it just depends. It depends on your activity level. You know, if you're feeling lethargic or worn down, then you're probably dehydrated. If you have thirst at all throughout the day, then that's a sign that you are dehydrated. So just constantly sipping on water throughout the day, you know, making sure that, like, when you wake up, the first thing you do is take in, like, 20 ounces of water, if not more. You know,
all right,
and then just being aware.
I appreciate the call. We got 30 seconds left in the show. Brenda, I appreciate you taking the time to speak with us. I know you have a lot more information, and I know Chris and Avi want to get on. So we're definitely going to do this again very soon.
Awesome.
Thank you very much. Next
Absolutely.
Tuesday, we'll be talking about self-image and self-help improvement. I don't have a lot of time, so we'll get into that then. God bless you. You guys take care.